Coming up on today's Locked On NHL, it's Eastern Conference Wednesday, and as we saw with trade deadline, a lot of talent came east from west. So we'll check in on how all those new additions are affecting their team, and the wild card race is heating up. How many teams are legit contenders, and who is just hanging on for dear life? All that's coming up, and it's brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Visit the FanDuel Sportsbook by visiting FanDuel Sportsbook, FanDuel.com/LockedOn for more. Make every moment more at FanDuel. This is the Locked On NHL Podcast. It's your team every day.
Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen on this Wednesday, March 8th. I'm Ross Levitan, as always on Wednesday, where we cover all things Eastern Conference. You can find me 5 days a week at Locked On Senators. You can also find my co-host David Morisuti at Locked On Toronto Maple Leafs. It's Battle of Ontario season. David, it's been a very fun season in the Eastern Conference, but more importantly, with all these new names coming in, the Leafs have half their roster, it seems, new. How are all the new guys fitting in?
It's been good, actually. There's been some guys who have really stepped up to the plate since coming over to the Leafs, and a few guys that it's taken a little bit of time to get adjusted to the new settings here, right? It's funny because Luke Shen right now isn't with the team. He's awaiting for his wife to give birth to their third child, I believe. So he's actually not with the team right now. Obviously, we know Ryan O'Reilly is going to be out with a month with the broken finger. But everybody, the other players have seemed to fit in quite seamlessly, the ones that have been counted on to play every day in the lineup.
Yeah, well, with Ryan O'Reilly, that's a tough break, no pun intended, but he was just wild in his first few games. Weren't you at the game in Buffalo for his hat trick?
I was. I made a donation to the hats being thrown onto the ice. A worthy donation, that's for sure.
That's awesome. So the Leafs kind of going in the right direction. The Tampa Bay Lightning, though, they can't seem to string any wins together. Are you getting more and more confident here as a Leafs fan watching the demise?
Well, of course. I mean, first and foremost, just to have that separation, a little separation in the standings, because the Leafs didn't have much margin for error when it came to trying to secure that home ice advantage for that first round matchup. So to see the Lightning kind of tail off, we've seen it before. And I know a lot of people aren't worried. I mean, they did pick up the win against Philadelphia the night before, but I mean, they should beat Philadelphia, but it's not just that the Lightning were losing, but it was how they were losing. Like, they were benching Kucherov, Stamkos, and Braden Point against the Buffalo Sabres because of how bad that game was going for them. Like, usually coaches don't like to push those buttons unless they absolutely have to. And I think John Cooper was trying to send a message to the team, because their play of late has not been very good.
No, it hasn't at all. And as a fan of the Ottawa Senators, I'm looking at their losses. Like, you really had to lose to Buffalo, Pittsburgh twice, Florida as well. Like, they're giving all these wildcard teams life. And it just sucks to see, because you're expecting the Lightning to kind of be that dominant team that's winning games. Only 2-4-2 in their last 8 games, 3 wins in their last 10. And one of those wins came against the Ducks. So put a big asterisk on that one. Even a shootout loss to the Arizona Coyotes, where you got to give goaltending credit. A 0-0 game. As a goalie-friendly show at Locked On Senators, we got to shout that out. But we only talk about 2 and 3 in the Atlantic, because number one is locked up, key. Nothing going to change here. 10-game win streak for the Boston Bruins, and it seems like nobody even cares. It's just kind of expected at this point in the season.
Yeah, it's not nice to see, if you know, especially the Leafs thought maybe at one point in the season they had a chance to catch up to Boston when they were meeting them, and then Boston just like, no, this is like lock and key, nowhere close. I mean, it's almost a 20-point advantage, and the Bruins have games in hand on the Leafs and pretty much everybody else in the East. So it doesn't make you feel that much better, but I mean, you at the same time, the Bruins aren't going to get much of an easy matchup when you're looking at some of these wildcard teams that are vying for the wildcard and how good they've been playing. Like, Senators, like, that team has been buzzing. And unfortunately, that could be the prize for the Senators is to play Boston in round one. But
any idea what the record is against Boston this year?
I know it's not actually. I know it's not great. I know that the Bruins have picked up a couple of wins on them.
No, nobody. Ottawa's got two wins in three games, pal.
There you go.
One, it took a shootout, and it was a shooting gallery against the Sens right around Christmas. They were able to kind of squeeze that one out. And then they beat them 7-5 in the home opener in Ottawa. So I was boots on the ground for that one. And it was Family Day Monday that Boston got the better of Ottawa. But that's before Boston added all of this talent. Yeah. We saw Tyler Bertuzzi make his debut, got an assist in that game. Coming up in the next segment, we are going to get into how all the new faces in the conference are doing. And not all of them have come from the West. You mentioned Rasmus Sandin, former Maple Leafs defenseman, seems to have found a home here in Washington. But just the amount of talent in the Eastern Conference. Like, you saw Timo Meier come West to East. You saw Jacob Chychrun come West to East. Patrick Kane. And the list goes on and on. Shane Gostisbehere, what a pickup for the Hurricanes, who seem to be in on Chychrun. And then they're like, nah, why don't we just pay a third-round pick and get an offensive mobile defense when we have our stud defensive guys like Slavin, like even Brett Burns has become a two-way defenseman there. Brett Pesce, the other guy whose name eluded me a moment ago. But they have so many defensive guys, it's like, hey, we know that he's a bit of a liability in his own zone, but man, he puts up points, and that's what he's been doing with 4 points in three games since joining Carolina. The Hurricanes look great. Maybe a bit of a hiccup yesterday in a shootout win over Montreal, but just taking it into a shootout might have been enough to, you know, grit some teeth down in Carolina. But man, 8-2 in their last 10. But going back to Boston briefly, you look at them as a team that doesn't even have 10 regulation losses all year. They're 49-8-5. Must be fun being a fan of that team. I mean, 237 goals scored, a plus 105 goal differential, David. It is just absolutely ludicrous. The best team in the Western Conference has a plus 44 goal differential. You're looking at more than double when it comes to the Boston Bruins. Really is remarkable.
I know it is. You have to tip your cap. You know, I was, when they brought in Jim Montgomery, I was skeptical about whether that was the right fit for that team, right? And people were wondering if that team had anything left. Patrice Bergeron was, you know, considering retirement, and he comes back. You know, David Krejci returns to the NHL, and there was all that talk about David Pastrnak and his contract status and whether he was going to be looking to go elsewhere for a big payday. And of course, in annoying fashion, everything seemed to kind of work out in favor for the Bruins. Coach is good. Bergeron is looking like he made the right decision to stay. Krejci's looked good. And guess what? They got David Pastrnak signed for another 8 years. So, yeah, there should be zero complaints if you're a Boston Bruins fan right now.
And their newest addition on the back end, Dmitry Orlov, is going off. What a huge pickup. We'll get into his numbers and a whole lot more coming up next on Locked On NHL. Today's episode of Locked On NHL is brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the official sportsbook of Locked On. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and we're going down the race to the finish line in the NHL. It's the perfect time to download FanDuel. It's America's number one sportsbook. And because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000, that's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at an even bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss your chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. To learn more, bet responsibly and make every moment more with FanDuel. It's the official sports betting partner of the NBA and the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, you're listening to Locked On NHL, your team every day, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And the beauty of the Locked On Network is local experts on the biggest stories every single weekday. We've got 35 shows on the NHL channel. Go check out what the Leafs are doing. Locked On Maple Leafs, We got the Locked On Canucks guys going, huh? What's going on out west? We'll save that for every Tuesday at Locked On NHL. We've got Western Conference. Tomorrow, Chris Michelli will take care of the power rankings each week. I feel like a fun power rankings. They could pick up right where we left off when we're talking about new additions and the impact they can make immediately, or in some cases, where is the impact? Can I start with Patty Kane? Because 2 games, no points, dash -4. I mean, everyone was talking about how low the price was, David, for Patty Kane, but is this a guy who's just trying to find his way with a new team after so long in one spot? Are you betting on Patty Kane to bounce back here and be a big contributor down the stretch?
Well, it's funny because there was a while where people didn't want anything to do with Patrick Kane going before the trade deadline. And then all of a sudden, when the whole thing with the Leafs and whether he would go there, he said, no, I don't believe everything you say. He just decided, I'm just going to go back to being Patty Kane again and scoring a bunch of goals, scoring a bunch of hat tricks. And then the Rangers just like, oh, okay, I think we can make this work. Kind of, I think he really wanted to make that move to the Rangers. And it's going to take time. It's a new surrounding. Like, he's been with Chicago for so long. Like, there's probably a bit of a shock to the system there. I mean, if I were at one team for so long, then all of a sudden I'm in a new situation, I would probably feel it too. And when was the last time Patrick Kane had the pressure of being a Stanley Cup contender as well, right? So it's a different type of pressure for him that he hasn't seen in a little bit. So I'm not too concerned yet for Patrick Kane, because I think once he kind of gets himself settled there, I think the points will come. The points will definitely come. But they're paying for Showtime Patty Kane, and he better bring him in the playoffs.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too worried if I'm a New York Rangers fan. He'll find his footing and find a way to sneak in there. The Rangers, though, lost 2 games in a row. They lost the Senators on Thursday night in a game where Derek Brassard was playing his 1,000th game, and that's a rink where he's pretty familiar with, played a lot of years with the New York Rangers. So that must have been a bit of a kick in the teeth. And they were playing that game with only 5 defensemen because of cap situation and trying to fit Patty Kane in to the lineup. That was actually his debut. Right now, he's on a line with Vinny Trocheck at center and Artemi Panarin, his old running mate in Chicago, playing the left side on that. They're listed as the second line, which I find hysterical. But at the same time, you look and they've got Zibanejad, Kreider, and Tarasenko up top. We're not going to count Tarasenko as a deadline acquisition because him and Nico Mikkola came over so early on in the trade season, if you will. But still worth noting, Patty Kane, not off to the hottest start in New York. Now, they're on a crash course to play the New Jersey Devils in the first round of the playoffs. It took Timo Meier a little time to get over and in the lineup. He's actually only played 2 games with the Devils and has just 1 goal. It came in Arizona. He is the type of guy where I would be even less worried about him. They've got him in a position to succeed, playing on a line with Jack Hughes and Jesper Bratt. What do you think he does to that series where – you know it's going to be the Rangers. That's a heavy team. They've got a lot of big defensemen back there, and most notably Jacob Trouba. Keep your head up when he's on the ice. But what do you think that the Timo Meier effect could be in New Jersey?
Yeah, I got to see him a little bit against the Leafs. That was the second game he ever played. It was actually his home debut with New Jersey. Yeah, I see a guy who's a big body. He's going to get into those tough areas because, let's be face it, Jack Hughes is a bit of a smaller player. He has bulked up a little bit, but he's not going to be the one crashing into going to retrieve the puck as much. He's going to rely on Timo Meier to do a little bit of that. But I think once he develops that chemistry with Jack Hughes and Jesper Bratt, he's going to start scoring some goals. That's what they brought him in to do, to score goals. But they also know that they're going to need him to be a bit of a physical presence. You know, he was probably the best power forward available heading into the trade deadline for a reason. He's a big body. He doesn't mind getting into the physical game. And yeah, you mentioned the New York Rangers. Like, that is their game. They want to be physical. They want to wear down their opponents. So Timo Meier is going to, and Timo Meier's seen a lot of that from the Western Conference. They play a very heavy game. So I think it suits him well. It's just going to take him a little bit of time to get used to, you know, the arms race that is the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and the longest arm had to be the Boston Bruins going out and getting Garnet Hathaway on their fourth line. I'm kind of working my way up in terms of value, because then you got Tyler Bertuzzi, who's starting on the third line. and then the number one pair defenseman, Dmitry Orlov. And I don't know if you've seen Bruins fans. They've been spelling his name Orr, as in Bobby Orr with two R's. Dmitry Orlov. But my God, 9 points in four games with the team. And they actually, or sorry, five games with the team, but they actually all came in the last four games. He had back-to-back three-point games. And it's got to help when you're playing with a guy like Charlie McAvoy.
Oh, it certainly does. And I'm not, I'm obviously surprised that at the scoring clip that he has with the Bruins, but I know this was a guy that had some offense to him. Like, you know, at one point, I know his career high was 35 points with Washington, but he scored 12 goals, like, as a career high. Like, that's not too bad for a defenseman that's not named John Carlson on that Washington Capitals team. You know, he's not getting the top power play time. So that's probably a big change for him with Boston, is being able to get more of those offensive opportunities. Now, to be fair, his shooting percentage is a little bit inflated right now. So I do think the points will even out a little bit. But just to be able to add a top pairing defenseman and not have to pay the arms race that a lot of other teams had to pay, I think the Bruins did quite well for themselves. I when I saw the trade, I wasn't too thrilled as a, you know, as a potential, you know, someone that the Leafs could potentially see in the playoffs, to see the Bruins go on and be able to add a defenseman of that caliber. But yeah, you got to give Don Sweeney a lot of credit. That was a very shrewd move on his part.
Yeah, 3 goals on 8 shots. I'll say that 37% clip might drop a little bit over the coming weeks, but certainly he brings a lot more to his game. He's got the intangible Stanley Cup champion in 2018 with the Capitals, and just a solid pickup. But we heard that the Boston Bruins were in on Jacob Chychrun. Heck, who wasn't? And I was on a strict don't talk about Jacob Chychrun until the trade goes down, wherever it may be. But you could tell as the deadline approached, Bill Armstrong kind of got caught with the cards in his hand because everyone else started balking at the price. You saw LA go out and get Gavrikov. You saw Boston go out and get Orlov. Carolina changed their sights and went out, even though it was with Bill Armstrong, they decided, hey, we're going to pay the lesser price and go out and get Shane Gostisbehere. Very interesting that Bill Armstrong did not get a single prospect. I know he didn't want to take money back, but not even a prospect that's not signed or a high pick. He ends up getting a first and 2 seconds. One of them could turn into a first if the Sens make the Eastern Conference Final this year. I don't think we have to worry about that just yet. But what did you think when you saw that trade initially? Because I was just getting to my bachelor party. I was checking into the hotel, and all of a sudden my phone starts lighting up, and here we go. And he's looked great, man. Like you heard what kind of defenseman he was, but man, that guy can play.
Yeah, you guys were the first people I thought about when that trade went down. Like, I was like, oh, the boys at the Locked On Sens podcast are probably going to have a time. Then I find out you're in Cabo, and I'm just like, Pierre Dorion just did them the biggest favor. Like, you were there to celebrate your bachelor party. Really, yeah. You were there to celebrate the Jacob Chychrun trade.
Exactly, yeah. The timing was so perfect, man.
But, yeah, the Arizona Coyotes just absolutely botched this. They could have traded Jacob Chychrun much sooner. It's always tough to make trades like this in season because teams have a budget. Salary cap is a thing in the NHL. Look at how many trades had to go through two teams just to be able to make it cap compliant. Like, I don't know what Bill Armstrong thought he was going to get done during the season versus in the offseason. I guarantee he got better offers at the draft last year than what he got going into from the Senators. Like, everyone was saying that if the Leafs would have wanted Jacob Chychrun, because they were apparently a team that were interested, it would have cost them top prospect Matthew Nyes, maybe Rasmus Sandin, and a first round pick. And I was like, you know what, that's actually not the worst thing. And then you see what the Senators gave up, and I'm like, and you wanted the Leafs to pay what? Like, I give the Senators a lot of credit. They were patient, maybe too patient in a way where it might have just not happened at all. Bill Armstrong just decided, you know what, the prices aren't there, we'll just hold on to them. But I give the Senators credit. They stay patient, and they struck gold.
Yeah, it was impressive for Pierre Dorion to not have to part, because all the talk was they wanted Shane Pinto. They wanted Ridly Gregg as a part of the package. Even Mads Sogard, the big goalie who's playing right now, 21-year-old, came out. He even said Tyler Cleven was an untouchable, a second-round pick from a couple of years ago, who all the scouting community thinks is nothing more than a hunk of meat that can hit. They don't think he can skate or think the game very well. And Dorion's like, no. Dorion's actually, like, we did a half an episode, one of our episodes in Cabo, great backdrop, had the ocean, everything was beautiful. And Dorion just had one of the best quotes all time. Said, I have two sons, but if I could have a third son, I would adopt Tyler Cleven. Imagine being a prospect on a team and being like, wow, that's cool. I think I'm going to fit in well here.
It's the centers have done things right where, you know what, some contenders are too quick to trade prospects, and the centers realize, well, we can keep this window open a little bit longer if we keep as much of that young talent.
They need to open the window first, David. I know they won 5 of 6. They just choked it away against Chicago. A 5-0 loss to the Hawks. Ugh, absolutely brutal.
Ilzy was in the building for that one, wasn't he?
He had his connecting flight through Chicago and had no idea the Sens were there. And then game day wakes up and is like, whoa, I'll go to the game. He lands at 5 p.m. It was an 8 o'clock local start, which saved him. He was able to get to the rink on time. And, he probably regrets that decision. But the United Center is a bucket list spot. Yeah. So that'd be pretty sick to go to. Unfortunately, the game didn't quite go in the right way. So, yeah, he was boots on the ground for that one. Tough finish. We talked about that at Locked On Center. Sorry, coffee's going down the wrong way, but we'll battle through here at Locked On NHL. Speaking of the Senators, the wild card race is heating up. Coming up next, we'll get into the who has it and who's just hanging around. Who's in the race and who is on the outside looking in, just sniffing around, seeing if they can get in the right mix to get to a playoff spot in the NHL's Eastern Conference. That's all coming up next. You're listening to Wednesday edition of Locked On NHL. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You know we love our friends at Built Bar. They've been a longtime sponsor of the Locked On Podcast Network. And have you tried the new Built Puffs? My gosh. What makes these Built Puffs so good? They're literally a protein-infused marshmallow. They come in great flavors as well. They all care about what it tastes first, and then they figure out how to make it healthy for you. I'm not sure how Built does it, but they literally taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. So run, don't walk, and go get yourself to a Built Bar right now at your local Walmart or Sam's Club, and order your Built at Built.com. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Walk to the pharmacy section and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or even coconut puffs. And if you're close to Sam's Club, rub in and grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter and churro. You can thank Beam later. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go check them out at Built.com, built.com, protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's Built Bar. All right, you're Locked On NHL, your team every day, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's March 8th, and we need to timestamp the dates on this, David, because the wildcard race in the Eastern Conference is changing what feels like by the minute. Now, if you're watching the show on YouTube, which you can always do here at Locked On NHL, as well as listen on your favorite audio podcasting platforms, it is an arms race. Now, I'm going to draw the line behind Detroit because I think crazier things have happened, but I think we can probably realistically say it's a 6-team race, maybe even 5. I'll start with that question. David, how many teams are in the race right now for those 2 spots in the Eastern Conference? As you can see, we're pulling them up here on YouTube.
Yeah, you said you were going to draw the line on Detroit. I'm kind of drawing the line on Washington, too, just because they've dealt with some injury issues through this season. And you see how many teams they have to leapfrog even to have a chance to get into the wild card picture. I just don't know if I see it. You look at the way that they approached the deadline. They weren't exactly looking to push for the wild cards. So I think eventually at some point that team's going to run out of a little bit of steam. They're 3-7 in their last 10. Like that's a, It hasn't been very good for Washington. So I'm towing the line there. So I would say it's a five-team race right now.
Five-team race. Buffalo, yeah. Ottawa, yeah. Florida, Pittsburgh, and the New York Islanders. Who are the favorites for you right now? Is it New York and Pittsburgh who are currently in those positions?
No, I'm going to go Pittsburgh, and I'm going to give Ottawa some love here. I think the way that they've been playing lately, they're doing things the right way. I think the Islanders, they've been doing quite well, but I think they're going to lose some steam a little bit here down the stretch. You know, they have some games in hand on a lot of these teams, so they're picking up some points, and they almost lost that game against Buffalo. There was that controversial goal that was allowed late in the game that won it for them. I thought the Bruins got the Sabres got a little job there, but I just don't know if New York is gonna if they're gonna have enough to keep this run going. I think Pittsburgh, they're gonna find a way. Crosby and Malkin and Letang are gonna, as long as they remain healthy, knock on wood, I think the Penguins should be able to keep themselves in that position there. Florida, I've just never really liked their team, and I don't know if I can trust them. So I think it's going to come down to the Senators and Islanders for one of those wild card spots.
Yeah, don't count out Buffalo, although they only have one win in their last five games. They've got such a potent offense that can strike at any moment's notice. Yeah, it's the games in hand here that everyone has on the Islanders, who played 66 games, whereas Pittsburgh, Ottawa, Buffalo have all played 63. Florida and Washington at 65 here in the mix. Florida 3 points back of Pittsburgh, Ottawa, Buffalo, and Washington all 5 points back of that final wild card spot. Although if you sort by points percentage, obviously things are a little bit different. But it's going to be such a fun race to the finish line. I know I'm excited about it. The only problem here is that all these teams are playing each other. Like, we have Islanders versus Penguins tomorrow night. So What are you hoping for if you're a team that's chasing them? I guess just no overtime would be the simplest answer, right? But hey, plenty of excitement here. And a race that was non-existent last year. What was the difference between 8 and 9? I think it was like 15 points.
Yeah, I know. This is a total 180 from last year. Like, last year was pretty much the playoffs were set in stone quite early. So it's nice to see that there are teams willing to make those final pushes to kind of load up, even just for a wild card race. It was nice to see that. You know, the Islanders have a lot on the line for this season with the Bo Horvat trade. You know, the Senators want to give these younger guys some playoff experience here.
Well, and now they don't have their first rounder. Yeah, it's top five lottery protected, but right, they don't have a pick to play for right now anymore either.
Exactly. So, you know, teams decided, you know what, even though we're not in it, we think we have every opportunity here. So I do like it. It's going to provide some entertainment for the other teams that maybe the playoff race is a little bit defined right now.
Yes, it's going to be a fun ride to the finish. David, appreciate you joining us on today's Locked On NHL. You got any final thoughts here as we head in to another exciting week? What's on the schedule for the Leafs this weekend?
Well, they got the Oilers, so they'll be looking for a little bit of revenge after the Connor McDavid, basically Connor McDavid show against the Leafs the prior week. So that'll be fun there. I will be in attendance when the Leafs take on the Sabres again. Apparently, there's something about the Sabres Leafs. I love to watch that rivalry, so I'll be able to watch that one in person. So, yeah, the Leafs right now just stay healthy and get as much chemistry going with the new guys as possible.
Yeah, love that. And for the Senators, it's a long road trip in Seattle tomorrow, then Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton.
With that one, it's not an easy road trip. It takes a lot of the guys.
No, and especially when you start out with a loss to Chicago for the road trip, you got some battling back to do for sure. And last year, they played their worst game of the season in Seattle. They had 14 shots on goal in it. I think it was like a 3-0 loss or something like that. It was absolutely brutal. So they got to make up for that one for sure. But for today, we say goodbye. Thanks so much for making Locked On NHL a part of your daily routine. Monday to Friday, local experts on the biggest stories, and find our local shows on YouTube and your audio podcast platforms. That's Locked On Senators, Locked On Maple Leafs. All shows are available on the Locked On NHL channel. We're a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And for David Morisuti, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On NHL Podcast. It's your team every day.